Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
You bet one bone to win 19. What site do you use where you can actually bet $1?
They let you do 50-cent bets.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, literally, like, he dropped Superman down, like, the drain, comes out. Like, God damn it, Superman. I don't know, honey. I don't know where he got that from.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City.
Part of the DITKOW Sports Network.
Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans! And a pleasure to have you here for the Big Daily Fantasy Show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Also sweltering Southern California these days. Very hot everywhere you go. Though, probably a little better over here in Santa Monica. Now, we're about to have our friend Santoro on the program with us tonight. Biebs, a.k.a. Ron in New Jersey, cannot make it to join us this time around, but it's all good. We wish him the best. And let's get to it. We have some daily fantasy talk to get into. Just before we open the mic, Santoro and I were comparing notes. Am I right, Chris? Am I right, Toro? Comparing notes.
Chris is fine.
How are you doing, Toro? It's good to have you back on the program.
Hanging in there, man. Just, you know, COVID-ed out.
Yeah, everybody is by this point. I didn't even check the numbers. Like, I wonder if I did see that there was like a 40,000 nationally, which I thought was pretty good, like compared to like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not following it anymore. I'm trying not to. It's too much, you know.
Nah, I know. It's overwhelming after a while. So I'm kind of similar. Not gonna get too obsessed about it anymore. It's, what can you even do? But on the topic of what we are doing, the stuff of fantasy, I remember when you were like red hot in FanDuel for a while. That was good. That was
good. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Not anymore.
What do you think about our friend O'Baby just destroying it in FanDuel lately? That's fun to watch somebody else kind of take the crown for a while.
I mean, Beavs pointed out how he stacks and stuff, so I don't know. I guess that he has some method to his madness. I don't know. Somebody got to knock him off, though.
Yeah.
He's getting arrogant on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting cocky as hell, and you know him. He's a troll, so he's going to rub it in.
That's a fair point. I mean, he has definitely been doing the scoreboard technique on the board lately. We did have somebody else win on Tuesday, the coach one, I think it was.
Oh yeah, kill a coach. Yeah, kill a coach.
That's right.
He'd be putting up the numbers too.
Yeah, it's the stack. The stack is a very interesting call. Like I do that sometimes, but you're right. And when you talk about how very risky it is, because when you stack in FanDuel, if that team has like three hits that night, it's over. Like, you're done. So it's really high risk. And high reward, too, but it's just crazy.
I know. There's a lot of, like, research and stuff, too, like, sometimes to go into it. Like, oh, who's pitching? Who's this? Who's that? You know what I mean? Who's hot? Who's not? It's like, if I really, like, focused, I could probably study it up more, but it's like, I don't know. I don't have, like, the attention span, you know what I mean?
It's, and sometimes it doesn't matter. Like,
it's random.
There's a lot of randomness to it. It's like, you do the best you can, and I definitely go into splits, and I do splits. I look at not only just splits for a player, like what does he do left against lefties, what does he do against righties in baseball or in basketball. I do it the most in baseball, and I look at like what are splits against a particular pitcher who's starting in that game, stuff like that. But it's not, you don't want to overdo that, because you're going to just drive yourself crazy. You can do all that, and I feel like I get the most, you know, the best opportunity to win, but it's not a guarantee. So
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, definitely a lot. Like, I don't know. Like, some of those sites make livings off of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Those guys probably take it to another level with the research, too. They're like, you know, what does he do in certain counts, you know, against certain types of pitches, and, you know, kind of evaluate for different relievers, too. And I would never go that far. It's just for fun. Like, I don't go in there expecting to win, you know?
Yeah. I like to win, though.
Oh, no. I mean, I like to win, too. I like to win. I think we all like to win. I mean, I was very interested in the scenario with Ron, though. Like, he was really digging into it. I didn't realize that he did as much research as he did. I thought that was very interesting. Like, he was certainly big on splits and stuff like that. But what I would like to know, because I tend to not be on the board for the first, like, three pages of the morning thread at themikefrancesa.com. So I'm not up on the situation where there's this meme about, oh, baby, checking what Ron's lineup is or vice versa. What was going on there? Like, are they planning lineups based on what they think the other person's lineup is?
No, I think Beavs recognizes that he stacks all the time, so he tries to figure out what game he's gonna stack.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I do that too. Like, we came to a consensus on the board that it's basically like there's a lot of Yankees and Mets representation in these contests. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
You wind up figuring that out eventually anyway. So you can play around that, you can go with it just to keep pace, or you can purposely fade it with some other players, and then to take it even further, you can play the pitcher that's going against them to really stick it to people if those stacks have a bad night.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I definitely end up picking a lot of Yankees, too. But whenever I pick them, it's like when they score, like, two runs. Not when Sanchez and Voit are hitting, like, two home runs a game, you know?
Yeah. How about Voit these days? You know, Cap and I have – Jerry and Piscataway and I are running our own fantasy baseball team, like a long-term fantasy baseball team. So we actually co-own the team. So we collaborate frequently. Every day we collaborate on getting players. And it just so happened we were looking for a batter to fill in. Somebody got hurt. And we saw that Luke Voit was on the waiver wire – 2 weeks into the season, like, hey, Cap, we should go get this guy. Like, no one has him. Like, yeah, let's go get him. Dude has been just destroying the ball since we got him on our team. So it's been a great get.
I bet. And that's the nicest if it's on the waiver wire and free or cheap or whatever.
It's unbelievable. Like, we had some, I don't know why. I mean, maybe just because we only have 10 people in our league, but to have, like, guys like him, Aaron Civale was on the wire. We picked him up there too. I'm like, that's crazy. And Savali just dominating tonight against Pittsburgh. He's got a great night going. But
yeah,
that's just kind of what you look for. Like, in FanDuel, I'm just looking for value. Like, I look at who's gonna get, like, the most points for the least amount of money. And
mm-hmm.
I made. But then there's the Lubs theory. Loves is also on the board, that you get the best pitcher you can, because then at least you know you're getting your 40 to 50 points. That's the theory.
Yeah.
Now, which direction do
you
take?
A lot of money, though. I don't know. I don't like spending, like, you know, 11 grand on a pitcher, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money, and you are really putting your eggs in one basket, because if he just has 30 points, then it's a complete waste of money. It's really, really risky.
There was a point, like, last year where Cole was like that, where, like, if you took Cole when he was on Houston, like, it was, like, you're getting, like, 60 points. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But, like, that's, I don't know. They got to, like, really heat up and, you know, what to do that. And I don't really think there's anyone who's really been like that, like, at least to start in this crazy year.
I came closest at one point either. I think it was during a public duel when I had Scherzer. He pitched great, but then I need the other players to do something, and they didn't, so I was screwed.
Yeah,
so that's where it gets really tricky.
Yeah,
it's like, even if he does have a great game, you wind up, it may not matter, because you're forced to get all these $2,500 players and $2,700 players, and the odds of them having like a 20-point performance are lower.
Yeah, definitely. Out of Southern California, you got the wildfires?
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. It tends to happen around this. I mean, I don't remember it happening in the summer as much as it used, you know, as it, you know. It used to not be in the summer so much. It used to happen in the fall. But now we're just getting both, so it's just, it's crazy, yeah. But it happens every year. Well, it's
COVID.
Tricky. What was that?
Plus COVID.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It's, but the fires are an annual thing, so it's, just hope that it's not too serious this time around. I mean, we've had some really bad ones lately. NorCal and SoCal. And I'm kind of done with that. Just like, can we just have one year where we don't have devastating fires every year? You know?
Is anything open out there? Is it just like dining and shit like that, like we got here?
We have pools open. So like recreational pools.
Away.
Yeah.
This doesn't really make sense to me. You would think that'd be like a cesspool for germs.
I think they're going on the idea that there are, there's like the chlorine kills off a lot of germs and such. You just can't use the shower. I think that's what I remember.
Yeah.
Either that or they spaced out the showers, but either way.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel comfortable hopping into a public pool. I don't think I would normally, let alone no pandemic.
Yeah, no, I got you. I mean, I don't blame you for feeling that way. It was a risky proposition before. Like that's yeah. True. Yeah. But restaurants are open. Patio restaurants are open. So if your restaurant has a patio, they just close off the indoor part, and then you can still use the patio to eat, do happy hour, whatever it is. And some places
I know,
have been getting
but who wants to. Who wants to do that in the heat? Like, it's been hot here. It's cooled down a little bit. I know y'all in, like, a freaking crazy heat wave, though.
Yeah, I mean, this week isn't the best, but before that, it was pretty nice. Like, it was surprisingly mild around here. Like, we were cracking 75 on some days, at least in Santa Monica. I think it's L.A. was probably around the low 80s, which is pretty good, so.
Yeah.
Today, it's 100 degrees in L.A. proper, and where we are, it's, like, 84, 85, which, yeah, it's kind of hot for Santa Monica, yeah.
So, yeah.
The humidity's.
You got the air, though, right?
What's that?
You got the air, though, right?
Yeah, we got the air. We got the air.
Well, I mean, you got air conditioning in your crib, right?
Oh, no. I don't.
Really?
People in, like, the rest of the town do, but in Santa Monica, it was, I think what they decided was that there wasn't enough. There weren't enough of those days around here to need an air conditioner, so we get away with it a lot of the time. But this week is tough, so I got a fan going right now.
Yeah, I give you credit. I can't sleep if it's hot. I'd be having the air pumping.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I'm sure that's automatic anywhere in the East Coast, like air conditioning, heating, all that stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
Have you guys had any issues with the blackouts over there? Like with it being so hot?
I haven't. I mean, the only power outages I heard of were because of the hurricane.
Yeah, the storm was rough. Like, it took out a lot of our friends' power. That sucked.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you were all right.
I can't imagine. I would be miserable.
Yeah, for sure.
That's rough, you know? Like, what that? There's nothing else to do anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where else am I going to... Like, there's no bars. Like, I don't want to go sit outside.
Nah, dude. It's not fun.
If it was more comfortable out, sure, why not? But not right now. Plus, we've got weight line. Like, I went to Hoboken the other week with, like, some girl I went on a date with, and, like you had to, like, wait to get, you know, to sit outside. You had to, and then you were, like, on a time limit once you sat down, and you had to order at least an entree or some shit like that. And I was like, damn, like, all these fucking rules. And, like, oh, I was like, I'd rather just stay home and chill, you know?
That's kind of strict. I don't think we had it quite that strict, you know, in places I've been with outdoor seating. We just hang out. You do the spacing. Got to wear your mask. I don't remember a time limit.
How do you wear a mask if you're eating?
No, you don't. You don't. I mean, the short answer is you don't. But, like, when you're not eating, I just put it up and it's all right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not feeling it?
No, I'd rather just... Yeah. I need to be comfortable. That doesn't sound comfortable. I was not comfortable when I went out and
Is that right? You know? Well, yeah. It happens, yeah. I feel like it makes more sense at that point just to take it home and then just do your own thing. Do your own little party. Do your own little outdoor dining arrangement. Because it seems like that's just as fun. Like, if you just take the stuff in, you know, even a fancy dinner. You could, like, a steak dinner and bring it. That seems like a good spot. Because then they give you all, like, the sides and the napkins and everything. It's like a picnic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, on the topic of sports, now that we have it back, it's like people have been on different sides of it. You know, they're like, oh, this is a gimmicky. It's so gimmicky. It's so great. It's so useless. It's so bizarre. And then other people are like, it's just good to have it back. And that's kind of where I am. I'm kind of like, look, we're playing. I mean, I'll take it, even as weird as it is.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I can only watch so many, like, Law and Order reruns. You know, like, yeah. I feel like I finished, like, Netflix, I feel like, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
An achievement unlocked. Netflix complete or something like that. Like, what else has there been to do? There ain't been shit to do. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, stay home, watch freaking Netflix, Prime, Hulu, and I mean, you know, like I said, what's really good on TV? Actual TV, you know?
Yeah, that's no. It's after you can catch up on stuff on Netflix, and I know that there's a lot of stuff I could do, but on actual TV. It was dead, right? Like, it was just, like, they were replaying games. Like, every channel was ESPN Classic for, like, 2 months. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was weird.
ESPN even started showing Eagles concerts.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
They showed an Eagles concert?
Yeah, like, one Sunday night. Like, I think at the Forum in Los Angeles or something like that. Well, like, that's how bad it is.
Yeah,
that's how bad it got.
It did get that bad, you're right. I can't
believe that. Bug it.
I should tell Junkie about that. He'd probably get a kick out of it. He might have actually watched. He would have put on ESPN because of that.
Yeah, something like that. But what was I going to say? Yeah, so, like, fuck it. It's better than nothing. I don't give a shit about the Cardinals. Fuck them. If they can't freaking play, I don't care. You're not canceling the season because of them.
That's right.
Baby. They got the greatest fans on earth, right? So they should be should be a little fucking understanding what we're going through. So
yeah,
fuck them. My team and most of the teams, whatever, don't have a problem. So whatever.
Exactly.
Deal with it. You know.
Yeah, it was the two teams so far that were infected were the Cardinals and the Marlins, and no, and it's like we can live without them.
Yeah.
So I'm not that's not enough for me to be that concerned. Although if you were to ask our friend Timmy Russo on the board, he was panicking like, "Oh, it's going to get shut down. It's all over." And I've been getting a kick out of that. I know he tends to.
They're going
to
plow on.
I think they're going to be all right. I think
there's money to be made. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, the play, all of this is just to try to get into the postseason, because they were saying that baseball doesn't even make money until they get to the postseason. So this is all this is. This is just essentially it's a big old preseason. Like it's two.
Yeah, but are they getting? I would think they're getting ratings. There ain't shit else to watch. I mean, there's the NBA and NHL now, but I mean, like, I'm sure sports are probably up, you know?
Yeah. That's absolutely true with baseball. I was understanding that, you know, if you remember opening night, they got, like, the biggest ratings on ESPN in a really long time. And similarly, you're seeing, oh, this is the biggest rating since X or Y for various games, local games, national games, and whatever. So I think you're right, because I've seen those reports as well. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad that your Yankees, have definitely felt like home with this season. It doesn't seem like a different season to them because they're getting hurt just like before. Which is ridiculous. It's just unbelievable. Like, it's 60 games and they're still like having half the team miss get on the aisle. I can't get over that.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. I don't know. I wish I could feel like a passionate fan again, but to be honest, like my team is the Yankees, but like if they lose or like You know what I mean? Like, they lost the ALCS last year. I was just like, oh, all right. And I just changed the channel. Like, it's hard for me to get, like, riled up for it anymore. You know what I mean?
Really?
Unless there's gambling going on, and then I'm a fucking wild man, you know? If I got some money riding on it, like, I don't, but I'll root for anyone then, whoever I bet on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So,
no,
you
I know
what
you
I mean?
Mean? We all have a little bit of that in us, actually. You know? I know, yeah. I do.
How about them Lakers?
I'm glad that you brought that up, actually, because this is a good opportunity to talk about this mess of a performance last night. But no, I'm not going to butt that. I just think there are obvious flaws with the three-point shooting in during the seeding games. We knew it. It wasn't going to go away. It's just like the coronavirus. It's not going to go away. Like, you have to improve your shooting ability from three-point line. Danny Green has been absolutely awful. And KCP getting 1 point, that's ridiculous. But most importantly, and everybody points this out, Anthony Davis having 8 points in the second half. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that. It's bad.
He just vanishes sometimes. He just dips, it seems like. I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, they got nothing. They got nothing besides LeBron and Davis. That's it.
Yeah, no. Very fair point. This has been pointed out to me by a lot of people. From Sharon to Sports Pope to everybody, they have all made this point that they've just the rest of these players just aren't that good. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, as of right now, I mean, Danny Green was solid during the regular season, but right now he's pretty useless. Let's be honest, he's not great. And when you don't have anybody to back up your two top guys, then those two top guys have to put up 33 points a night to win games.
Yeah,
it's not a good spot.
Yeah. Isn't that the story with all LeBron's teams, though? Aren't they always so top-heavy?
That's what I was kind of... That is a very good point. We know definitely in Cleveland that was a case. And it's not a coincidence after a while, right? Like, I think the deepest teams he had were with Miami. When he had Bosch, and he had Dwayne Wade, and a couple of nice role players.
And he had everyone signing there just so they could say they were on the team and win a title. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I know.
You know? So,
I think you remember my opinion of LeBron before he joined the Lakers, right? Like, I've definitely had a lot of that same feel. Like, he's a little bit too dominant in terms of what he does with the roster. And it's like, why don't you just let these guys build the team? You know, he has a little too much say in how the roster is constructed. And, you know, because it's the other thing that could happen if you're too top heavy is that if it's just LeBron and maybe one other guy and a bunch of guys that just stand around shooting threes, you get vulnerable if those threes don't fall. And that's exactly what we're having right now. It's just like you need other players. You need guys that can cut to the basket. You need solid, consistent players, like just good defenders. That's the nice thing about this team. Like, the defense has been pretty good. Even last night, it was good. Like, they held Damian Lillard without a point for a quarter and a half. They held the Blazers at just over 100 points. It's pretty good. The problem was the Blazers held the Lakers to 93. And
their defense sucks.
That's terrible. That's the first time that anyone's held a team. I mean, that's the first time the Blazers have held a team under 100 points since January. I mean, that is a horrible look. You can't score 93 points against a defense that's pure dog shit like theirs. That was bad. I was like, this is unbelievable.
They're in trouble. If the Blazers ever get Zach Collins back, I don't know why he didn't play.
Good question. Maybe he will, if he's healthy, that is.
I don't know. I think they're in trouble, though.
Well, look.
But I'm a LeBron hater, so I'm biased.
Oh, you're a LeBron hater? You have company.
I'm not a hater. I just find him very annoying, you know?
No, but look, I certainly have had annoyances with him, but he's a great player. And he's rightfully one of the tops in the NBA.
Yeah,
definitely, historically.
There's, There's no denying that. But, like, is he in L.A. because he really wants to play for the Lakers or because he wants to be in L.A.? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's a good question, but to me, it's irrelevant. I don't think it matters. I think the means do not the means do not concern me. The end is what counts as far as me as a Laker fan. So I think it's fine. Like, I'm not worried about it. So it's all good, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, like, yeah, like, he, like, all those kids kind of weren't great in L.A., but, like, as soon as they trade him away, like, they're tearing it up in New Orleans, you know?
Those New Orleans guys, they still stuck at defense. That's a terrible defensive team. So I will say that much. Like, I think that, you know, if we can say what you will about the offense, but about what they do offensively, but man, it is a solid defensive team, and they even up to this point, like, that I really do think that their defense has been pretty good. But no, I get your point. Like, I'm not going to be as much of a hater on LeBron, especially now, because I root for him now. Like, he's one of my teammates. It's like I'm playing, but it's valid. Everything's been what you said is valid. I think he just has too much say in how the team operates and who's on the team and so on and so forth. And I feel like
He dipped from Miami.
Yeah,
that's why he dipped from Miami, because Riley wasn't trying to hear that shit. You know?
No, very true. But that's also why it worked really well for a couple of years, because Riles was all over it. I'm a big Pat Riley guy. Like, he started his coaching career with the Lakers as a midseason replacement, and ever since then, I've just been a fan of his. And when he went to
Don't get me started as a Knicks fan. All right, we both have history with Pat Riley.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. It's really interesting that people must have been so surprised when they saw the Knicks play the way they did with Pat Riley, because they're like, wait a second, this guy coached the Showtime Lakers. How could he have gotten the Knicks to be like that? But the truth is, he's been like that forever. He's always been like a tough, hard-nosed guy, kind of guy, and he coaches his teams hard. Like, he's always having his teams play hard, and even with the Lakers, there was no different. In fact, people would argue
he also adjusted to the personnel he had, you know what I mean? He had dudes like Mason and Oakley, and you know what I mean, like, who were just body dudes who came into the lane, you know?
Right, basically, so, no talent.
Hey, it wouldn't work today, but no. It worked then, you know?
I've made a similar point about the Utah Jazz, and I was on one of the NBA shows I did with our friend, I don't know if you've met him, but Sports Pope. He hasn't been on the board in a really long time, but he was a great poster over there. Really cool guy. So you can catch him on the podcast with me whenever we talk NBA. But yeah, I made that same point. I'm like, guys, teams like Utah and Miami and New York of that era, they would have no shot today, because you just wouldn't be able to keep up. Like, it's just too much. There's too much offense, too many threes, and they space the floor out so much. Like, you can't just have body guys like they used to.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it'd be interesting watching, like, Harden play against them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, he's not afraid of driving the lane. I wonder if he'd be up for the challenge. That's interesting. I don't know.
No.
You don't think so?
He's a hell of a one. He's a hell of a one-on-one player, I'll say that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's why he's a FanDuel favorite around these parts, you know? He's great.
He dropped like 70, 80 points in every freaking game. FanDuel.
Yeah. So good.
Because he, like, you know, it's like 37 points, 12 assists, and like 6 boards, you know?
He is the ultimate compiler. Is just, without dispute, he is a compiler. And it works for FanDuel. It doesn't work for basketball, but it works for FanDuel and fantasy sports for sure. Like, I think that has been, that's definitely been a constant. And if we say on the topic of FanDuel basketball, I don't have as clear of an idea of how to prep for one of those. I think some of it is just me feeling out, well, they're playing this shitty defense, and I just end up doing that. I play players who are hot. I play players who have... But usually you want to get a really good point guard. I mean, that's probably where it starts. You want, like, you want that to be set. You also want the center to be set. Like, you don't want to fool around with, like, low-price centers most of the time. I didn't do that tonight, but most of the time I have a, like, quality center. Like, I will pay the extra amount because I feel like it's worth it. Because if you want that guarantee of 40-plus points in the center position, it's like a good anchor.
I tend to go lower with them, but what do I know, you know?
Where do you put the most priority then? Like, what position are you do you find the most like you would pay the most for?
Probably like a shooting guard, like Harden or Doncic.
Oh, okay,
you know?
Shooting guard. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then as you just alluded to, the superstar has to be a part of it. You can't do it with like all like bench players or all like $6,000 guys. Like, you have to have at least one like slam dunk all-star to put up your 50 points, whatever it is, 40, 50 points. Donovan Mitchell, for example, you know, that's another good example.
Yeah.
He's two games in a row. He's been really good. Like, he's been lighting it up, but that's the kind of guy you need. Let me see who you had tonight. Let me go check this out. Let's see.
I don't know. I was in like, I'm losing though. I can tell you that.
You did have, I thought you had an early lead at some point. Let's see.
Yeah,
oh, you
early
have Luka. Okay.
Yeah. Early, yeah. So everyone else probably does too.
No, I'm probably. I'm not sure if Biebs does. No, he
does. He does. No, he does.
Oh, he does. No, Biebs does. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Leo's score. You're right. He does. Yeah, Biebs does have him. Okay, so that's one less thing I can catch up on him with. Okay. Oh, he had Kemba as well? I'm done. We have three common players.
Fucking Jordan Clarkson with 40 points. Like, are you kidding me, man?
That is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Coach over in Denver was talking about how bad the Nuggets defense is, and I don't think a lot of people have caught on to that yet. I certainly didn't for a couple days, and then he told me about how shitty the defense is. And it's like, dude, their defense stinks now. It's really bad.
Yeah, but you know what? If Porter's a player, then they got something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a fan. Michael Porter Jr.
You know, Jokic, Murray, and Porter, like, yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah. I think it's cool that they moved him into the starting lineup. I think that was a good call. Just keep him there. Like, he's getting it done.
I know. He was out, like, for, like, over a year, right? He didn't play even in his rookie year.
Yep. The injuries and so on. So, now that he's shown how good he can be, they're moving him in and they're using him more, and I think that's the way to go. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Sixers lost, right?
What's that?
The Sixers lost, right? They were getting blown the fuck out.
They got their ass kicked tonight, man. It was surreal. That game was over at halftime. It was.
They suck, y'all.
Yeah, they do, man. They really do. Like, once
their coach sucks, Embiid just like is so like, you know, Simmons can't shoot a fucking shot, you know. Like, and okay, Tobias Harris, okay, he's a nice player, but you know. They let Redick go. They let... Who else did they let go? They brought in Horford, which totally didn't work.
Yeah, Horford. I like Horford, but it's not a fit. It's too... I've been saying, like, the thing with them is that there's too much personality on that team. There's too many egos. There's too many guys that need the ball, to put it in more basketball terms. And it doesn't really... They don't really complement each other. Like,
no, not at all.
You know, like they all need the ball a lot, so that doesn't really work so well when you're trying to get them all to play on the same, you know, in the same game. That is going to end up being one of the most overrated teams of the decade, like, and I took the bait too. I really thought they were going to have a great year. I think I even picked them to win the East. No, I may not have picked them to win the East. I thought, but I might have. Honestly, I did think they were going to be pretty good. They are.
They did. They did all that tanking, and they're just going to have to ball it up again.
I know, right? That was totally not worth it. I have to say. because they're getting.
Think about how different they would be if they took Tatum over Fultz.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. What a difference, huh? Tatum's just.
Yeah. That's... Because then you have the pure scorer who can shoot, too. You have Embiid in, you know, the post or whatever he does. And then you have, like, there's no pressure on Simmons to really score as much then, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Tatum, and, you know, with his length, he would cause a lot of matchup issues on other teams. Yeah. Yeah, they really missed out. I mean, Fultz is kind of a freak scenario, what happened there. But there were a few rumblings about his injury history going into the draft, so
he couldn't shoot either.
Yeah, that's true. He really wasn't a great shooter. That's true. I remember during the draft, I felt like the Lakers dodged a bullet not drafting Fultz in the end. And Ball was a reach. That was stupid in the end. I mean, that was, you know, in retrospect, we can say that. I don't think I would have said that at the time, but, you know, Boston kicked everybody's butt there in that draft. They actually traded down, if you remember, from the number one seed in order to draft. Was that Tatum? Was that at that time, or was that Brown? I can't remember.
No, they traded down to three, and they took Tatum when they were going to take him all along, you know?
Yeah. And that was the idea. It's just like they had the sense that there's no point in us drafting number one because we know these other guys aren't going to take them. And it was this very savvy move by Ainge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. They got a lot of talent, Boston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Hayward keeps getting hurt all the time. And it's just surreal. Like, he cannot stay healthy. And it's like every time he gets hurt, it's like he's out for like 4 months. Like, and I think in this case it was like 4 to 6 weeks. But that's as good as out for the season because the season's only like 6 weeks to go from this point on. But that's just how good they are. Like, they lost a guy that good, an all-star caliber player, and they're still rolling. They're also used to not playing with him.
He's also like the fourth option on that team.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, who would be the first option? Because they're all pretty good.
Tatum,
right? Okay. Yeah. And then would we say Brown?
Yeah, and then Kemba Walker.
Kemba would be third. Yeah.
Well, he's kind of hurt, too. He's not playing, like, 100% yet.
Right. He had a good night, though, considering that. Because he was definitely banged up going into the bubble. And they were really easing his minutes. But now I think they're kind of somewhere between that and him being full 100% again. So, yeah. That's pretty much true. Yeah, that'll be an interesting watch. I do like Toronto. I thought that was very good, like, first two games. They fell behind in the second game today against the Nets. It was a nice comeback. That's just how good they are. Depth, defense, playing great.
Yeah. And they lost Kawhi, you know?
Yeah. I think that says to me the depth of that team really was great. It also says that Nick Nurse is a terrific coach because to be able to take that and make that a very good team.
Yeah.
I think that's good coaching. I really do.
He doesn't have a Drake in his ear in the bubble either.
that probably does help for sure. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. It's just... All those home games, he's always right behind them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a feel-good story with Toronto until you get to Drake, and then it just gets annoying. It gets irritating. I'll give you an update on from the Clipper game. I have it on a screen here. They are down by 11 points in the second quarter, and there are 4:42. There are 4 minutes and 40 seconds to go in that second. Oh, now it's actually 50-50. Okay, now they're down by only 9 because they just.
Clippers are down.
Clippers are down.
They better be careful. They were losing the other night before they tossed Porzingis out. You know.
Right. I think they're rallying here, but. They probably don't want to be too. They probably want to put in a little urgency here, just like the last game. So we'll see. But I'll tell you what, the Clippers do own Dallas. If you look back at some of their recent series history, regular season two, they have just beaten them every single time, and they've been very good against the spread against the, that team. So I've taken advantage of that a couple times. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever works. You got to
win,
right?
Sure. For sure. Whatever works. Do you do the... You were on the golf... You're on the golf duels too? Is that right?
Jump in them sometimes. I don't know what the hell. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I just randomly pick, you know?
You know, honestly, I don't have a real strategy for that. I watch these tournaments every week. I like golf a lot, so I certainly have an idea, like, who will be, like, who would I would pick for my first pick and my second pick. And then after that, it is truly a crapshoot. Because even if you get guys who barely miss a cut, that's, like, the 1 week they missed a cut. So and I would never put too much effort into golf, so I think you're playing that fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't follow it, so I don't know what I'm doing. I think of like Koepka, McIlroy. I don't know. What's that other asshole? DeChambeau now. You know, like.
But DeChambeau lately has been tough to take. I really think his bickering with the officials is getting a little rich.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but at any rate, good stuff. I mean, that's a pretty. You know, you can't go wrong with, like, a top five guy, I think. But sometimes you can. Like, Koepka really lost it in the last 3 weeks. But generally, it's a good decision. So let me ask you this. Of the sports you partake in with FanDuel, which do you think you're the best at?
I don't know. I do pretty usually decently in football. Like, I've definitely taken a few ones, like, each year the past few years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm weird. I'm, like, so streaky. Like, I'll win, like, four in a row or something like that, and then it's like I'll just suck, you know?
Yeah.
It seems to go like that for all of them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just how I am. Like, I'll heat up to, like, I'll place, like, no worse than second for, like, five contests, and then it's like, bam, you know?
Yeah, that is true, though. I think as long as you're committed to having a feel for, like, which players are going to be good in a given week, checking matchups, I will say FanGraphs is really, really helpful in that area. You can figure out who the leaders are. You can determine the splits I was mentioning, like, versus righties versus lefties. And I feel like that makes a difference. Like, if you can spot a guy that hits very well against left-handed pitchers... Usually left-handed pitchers are death to lineups, but if you find those one or two guys that are really good against lefties, that is a good call. Like, you can take that to your advantage. Generally, you go with career numbers, but if they're pretty young, career numbers don't make any difference. Like, you could just do the season numbers, but that is one thing I would do. There are websites that show you, like, the FanDuel projections of a player.
Yeah.
Have you dabbled in any of that?
Sometimes I'll check the one where it's like it'll give you like great value in this range or moderate value, or you know what I mean. Like sometimes I'll do that if I like just feel like I need a hint or something. But I don't know, not really. Like I end up just picking on my gut and like you know most of the time I fuck up. So that's probably tells you something, you know.
Well, the value ratings. I find are useful, but to a point. It doesn't always apply. It just gives you an idea. And then it's up to you to determine whether you feel like it's a good call or not. And I think instinct is a better call because you can. I feel like you know these players more than these numbers do. When you talk about the moment. So when I say instinct, I'm also talking about context. And, for instance, Corey Seager has been red hot at the plate lately. So my instinct is, you know, he's probably going to have a good night. You put him in against the Angels. Now, I didn't do this. I went with somebody else. But if I were to put him against the Angels, I would have had an extra 30 points because he had a great night. He had a great day against the Angels on Sunday.
Yeah, and I spent big on fucking Mookie motherfucking Betts yesterday, and he put up a zero.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he was a zero. That's great. Yeah. So there are also superstitions that go into this. So I look at the game log of any FanDuel player. So I just, like, I click the name and then I figure out what his last, like, few games are. The one thing I hate to do is play someone who just came off a big game. So if the person had 20-plus points in the previous game, I almost use that as a sign to not play him for that particular night. Because I'm like, well, he's not going to do that two times in a row. It's just a superstition that I use. So that's something I do. I don't know if you do that, but I always had this idea that, well, if he had a 50-point game, Robbie Cano had a 50-point game about during that Marlins series. They might be still playing. Yeah. So that was a couple days ago. And I'm like, he's not going to do that today. He had 50 points. Like, he's not going to repeat that. So I always had that idea that if he did really well yesterday, he will not do very well today. But it works the other way, too. I always have the super... And this is... I don't know if this works or not, but... But you ever see, like, that guy who just is on a... Who has, like, 0 points, and they're like, well, let me just try it. And then he ends up having a good game. That's just...
Yeah.
I think that's all in my head, but I think that superstition is something I do, too.
It definitely plays into it, especially in strategy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. But I think knowing your opponents is a definite component of the doing our fan duels, like our group fan duels. And Ron absolutely nailed my strategy about using late night players. Like he just made a guess on that, and he's right. Like that's absolutely part of my strategy. I'm like, I like to get players in West Coast games. I think the biggest reason is just because I'm familiar with them. Like, they're in my division sometimes, like with the Padre guys and the Angels. The Angels aren't in the division, but since they're close enough, like, I can tend to put them on once in a while. So, Giants guys I know, Rockies guys I know, Diamondback guys I know them too.
I do the same thing with the Yankees and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a feel for like the other division teams, like the Red Sox and the Rays and so on?
Yeah, like, you know, like East and stuff, or the Mets, just because they're here in New York. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah, I definitely am familiar with the
Mets. You see me, Dave? Send my connection.
Yeah. It's.
Can you hear me, man?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Hello? You may have lost.
Yeah, I just got one of those things.
Okay, maybe there's a little delay. Huh?
Yeah, no, I got one of those things that said like my connection is unstable.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. But anyway, just to summarize, yeah, I mean, I think teams that we watch and we follow every day play into it, and it does help. It definitely helps. I'm also familiar with, like, the A's, too, for whatever reason. Like, I feel like I've got an idea who the A's are, who are the best players, who's hot, who's not, etc.
Yeah. Well, they're out in California.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's in the vicinity of the team that I watch.
Well, that's, like, Northern California, right? Like, that's, like, a ways off from you.
No. It's North... It's basically... So whereas we have the Angels, which are like, you know, 45 minutes away from us, it's a similar scenario for the Giants and the A's up north. So Giants are in Northern California and the A's are across the bay over, you know, in Oakland. So that's the idea. So it's kind of like the A's and the Angels don't really have a rivalry, but it's a similar geographical context to the Dodgers and the Giants. It's like a very similar idea.
Mm-hmm.
So... They're all on around the same time. Like, it tends to be about 7 o'clock local time. So you generally have an idea what they're up to. So, yeah, anything like that you can use to your advantage. You hear some anecdote on MLB Network about a player. Oh, he's been great over the past 10 games. Like, I use that. There's no set thing. That's the thing. There's no set strategy. It's just what you know you use to your advantage the best you can. And...
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it takes to do that. So I think overthinking it can be like a problem, because then you're just wasting time, because like you do all this research and it doesn't really matter, because if one guy blows up, forget it.
So David, tell me about SoCal, man. I need to get out there.
It's Well, I think it's worth coming out. Yeah, definitely. Everybody says the traffic sucks, and it's true, but if you can get around that, there's definitely a lot going on here, and especially in the LA area, there's just so much going on. Like, if you're into, like, music and the scene of pop music, hip-hop, rock, R&B, it doesn't really matter what your genre is. The music scene is unbelievable here in Southern California. Like, you have pre-COVID anyway, you had concerts and you've had events and you've had album releases and award shows. It's like, it's a place to be. A lot of historic stuff going on over here.
Always nice weather.
Yeah. I mean, I've been telling you about how I say it's hot, but these days are few and far between over here. And certainly in the winter, we never worry about snow or blizzards or any major storms. We definitely never worried about a hurricane before. We have our fires and our earthquakes. I mean, they're not fun, but certainly the long term of it, I think, is an advantage for us. Like, we definitely have had very good weather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're around the stars?
I guess you could say that. I mean, you do see some famous people out there, you know, where you're running around. You know, around where I live, even where I live in Santa Monica, you can run into people a couple of times. So it's kind of neat. I did see James Worthy at a bar one time. That was cool. Seems like a cool guy. That's pretty cool. That was one example.
I miss going to bars.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely different, isn't it? It's different. I don't know. I mean, I don't know when that's going to change. But just to finish my point, yeah, they're famous people. I don't make as big a deal about famous people. I think I didn't actually remember one other time I was waiting for a car and I was standing. My friend and I were standing next to Michael Strahan and Jay Glazer, who were also waiting for a car. So that was kind of
fun.
Yeah. that's like a super name drop right there. But
yeah.
Those are the days.
Michael Strahan and Jay Glazer. I was hoping for, like, Brad Pitt or
We haven't had that good. No, I haven't had that good yet, nah. But who's the biggest person, like, the biggest deal that I can remember seeing in person? I don't actually know. Would you have an answer to that? Like, who's the biggest name that you can remember seeing in person?
Not really. I've never, like, run into, like, really any famous people. Like, I don't really see them in New York or Jersey, you know? I'm sure that, you know, they're in New York, but it's like, you know, I'm either downtown in, like, the freaking corporate financial district or I'm off 14th, you know? I'm not on, like, Park Avenue or Madison or, you know what I mean? Like, or, you know, Upper East Side or, you know, Central Park area, you know what I mean?
That's, Yeah, I can see that, yeah. I mean, for all the notable people I've seen in my life, I can't think of anybody on the level that you just said, like a Brad Pitt. I don't think I've ever seen him. I don't think I've ever seen...
Yeah, something like that, you know. Like, well, I mean, it's Hollywood, you know what I mean? That's why I was wondering.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got everyone out there. You got all them. You know, you got every Kardashian and Jenner and Travis Scott and Drake and, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
No, but seriously, though, it's all there. Like, if I mean, I can imagine that there have probably been a lot of other big deals that I just didn't even know about because, like, I didn't recognize them or whatever, but the scene is definitely real. You can feel that, yeah.
Well, they all live in, like Hidden Hills, right? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. They got their big old compounds. Like, everybody's mic'd over there. They got their own little mic mansion.
And you can't, like, get in there, right?
No.
No, it's, like, it's all not, probably like, private. No.
It's not like the State Farm commercial where they just think that you can just walk up the street and go to Chris Paul's house. Like, it's not like that at all. Everybody's got their own little city. So it's kind of, they've been in bubbles forever.
Yeah. So, you know, it's easy for them to quarantine when they got those fucking mansions and shit.
Exactly.
They're all on
social media. Look at us, like, social distancing and quarantine. Yeah. It's like, that's not much of an achievement, man.
Yeah. Stay home.
Yeah.
Stay home in my fucking in-ground waterfall pool with a hot, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, it's like, you better stay at home. Yeah. It's easy for you to do with your theme park in the backyard and
golf course. Your basketball court, tennis court, like friggin' couple holes of golf, and like they don't have homes, they have estates, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They have like, no, seriously, it's like a giant resort. It's like everybody lives in their own Walt Disney World. It's like, it's easy for you to say.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck do you have to complain about? Like, shut up. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so over it. I'm so over the celebrities and the stay home and the COVID. Like, or even their freaking views on, you know, politics. It's just, it's, shut the fuck up, yo. Please. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate people speaking out for civil rights and so on, but I get it. I get your point, because at some point, you're like, it's not like you're, because the underlying idea behind it, I know what you're getting at, because you're saying that the underlying idea about this is that their views matter more than yours, and it's like, but yeah, they don't. It's like, what is the difference between you and me, other than the fact that you're on TV?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
We have more talent than the Kardashians, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah. Seriously. This podcast has more talent than...
I don't fault them, though. They just, they saw an angle, they exploited it, and, you know, that's capitalism, so you know what?
Yeah.
If that bitch can get her freaking whatever amount of kids to all become freaking billionaires, and they're completely talented, then... talentless, then you know what? Then she's probably more talented than I think, you know?
How to get money without talent. That is definitely its own talent. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a mystery for me, though. You're more up on that than I am. I have no feel for like how that happened. Like, I have no idea.
I don't know. Make a sex tape. Yeah. Have your daughters date a bunch of freaking rappers and NBA players, and, you know, away you go, I guess. Yeah. Have your freaking ex-husband chop his fucking dick off and become a woman, you know?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's funny.
You know, like, you know, talk about, oh, when I was standing on the podium in the Olympics, all I could think about is I was a woman. I was like, bro, come on, man. You know, like, all right. That's what you were thinking about when you just won the gold? Like, I don't fault you for doing what you do, but, like, that's really what you were thinking about?
Yeah.
Like, give me a break.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Oh, man. Let me see what else. I'm going to ask for your predictions for this NBA playoffs.
Clippers, I'll tell you that.
You like the Clippers? Okay. Well, they are coming back. They've cut it.
I just think they're too stacked.
Yeah. You know, would you get a kick out of the Lakers losing in the first round? I know a lot of people.
Hell yeah. I know.
I know. All you Knicks fans want the Lakers to lose a series. I get it.
I like Lillard, and, you know, it's like they got way more talent. They're way more loaded than the Lakers are, especially
That's a very strong comment. You think that with three guys are more talented? Well,
I didn't say that their top players are better than the Lakers' two top players. I'm saying they have a lot more talent on their roster than the Lakers, though.
So you would say then that guys like Hassan Whiteside and then he
fills his role. He's like blocking shots left and right. Like Nurkic is like a player. You know what I mean? Like,
no, Nurkic is definitely big.
You know, McCollum's that's a big difference. McCollum's good for 20.
Yeah.
Dame, like, Lillard has, like, you know, like the Curry range going now, you know? And
yeah, that's true. No, you know? I love Dame.
I didn't even bring up, like, I mean, Melo's 35 years old, but he's good for, like, 15 a night, you know?
I got to give that to him because I really didn't think he was going to be that good. He's been really good for them.
Yeah. You know, and it's like I'm probably even missing people. Like, what's the freaking dude who's like Trent, who's hitting all the threes too?
Oh,
you know?
Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, hitting all the threes. Like, you know, like they got talent, and you know, like they didn't have Nurkic for most of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like they sort of got their team together at the right time in the bubble, and now it's like, all right, they're rolling. You know?
Yeah, they definitely are. You know, they fought a lot to get into the playoffs. And the hysterical part is that I didn't think they'd be very interesting in the playoffs. They've really proven me wrong in a lot of ways. Number one, I'm a huge Damian Lillard fan as well. Like, I think he's great. He's one of the most clutch players in the league. Like, in a big spot, he's hitting great shots. Every game, he has been really consistent in a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when they get Zach Collins back, too, he could play, too. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, they're loaded. Lakers are done.
Well, if you really think that, I think you should go to FanDuel Sportsbook. Can you do FanDuel Sportsbook?
Okay. We get the Sportsbook in Jersey.
Now, it's not a lot of odds. The Blazers at this point are only plus 170 to win, 175 to win the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
You may as well do it. If you really think that, you may as well put that down for like a dollar or a couple bucks or however much.
Not going to win much if they're only plus 175.
But that's kind of why I think that this could actually happen. And that's the disturbing part for me. The fact that the books have rated them at only that much to win the series, that seems to suggest that they might be a truly live dog.
Yeah.
Normally you'd think like plus 300, plus 400, plus 600. Plus 175 is saying the Lakers really aren't that good. No. Collectively.
No, they're not. They have two guys.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a very entertaining 2 weeks then in that case.
They should just say fuck it and throw like, what's his name, J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters out there.
Yeah, yeah.
At least maybe they could get hot.
They need
to
get in the game more anyway. Waiters should have been in the game more last night. I was very surprised that he only played.
Can we stop seeing freaking Alex Caruso? You know.
Hey, no, I'm all about Alex Caruso. That's fighting words for me. He's great.
His defense is good.
You got to admit his defense is great.
I know he threw down a dunk last night, but what do you have, like 3 points?
It's the intangibles. He is a pest. I don't think you're putting your ire on the wrong target. Put it on Danny Green. He stinks. We agree with that. KCP with the 1 point. He stinks. We agree with that, too.
Yeah.
Davis, he stinks with the 1 point. Caruso's giving it every night. I think he's... He certainly would never be confused with an all-star, but I feel like there are people more deserving of being ripped than he is right now. Like, I think he doesn't have much to give, but he throws it all out there, you know? And I can dig that, so. But, you know, it is going to be very interesting. It is only one game. If the Lakers win game two by 20 points, I feel like this entire conversation would have been useless. But
We'll see.
And the 3-point shooting issue has been a problem all season. The depth is not great. We know that. Like I'm not denying that. I think that's true. I really do. So Guess we'll see.
Anthony Davis can bounce too, right? He didn't sign.
Nope.
Yeah.
Does he have for next year? I thought he might have been good for next year, but then the year after that, maybe he can bounce.
I thought he was a free agent after this season.
Let's go check it out. I can check it out right here. Spot track.
I don't know if he would, but, you know.
Well, I literally don't know. Like, you can see that going either way. So I have no idea. Maybe.
You know what they did wrong? They waited too long in free agency. Like, they put all their eggs in the Kawhi basket, and that ended up fucking them, you know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a it says here... There is provision. There is something here. What does that green section mean? Let's see. It says... 2021 unrestricted free agent. I thought that means he plays one more year, though. So, or maybe there's an opt-out. Oh, there is, yeah. There's a player option on October 14th. So what that means is he could opt out. Yeah, yeah. So technically he's under contract for another year, but he could opt out of it too. So you're right,
he'll bounce?
Out.
I don't know if he'll bounce, but he'll opt out.
Yeah, I think you probably would opt out, yeah. I think you're right about that part.
I don't know if he'll bounce because I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, I'm sure someone would offer him, but it sounded like he wanted to go to the Lakers, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if LeBron, for whatever reason, bailed on this project and it was Anthony Davis' team, I wouldn't complain. I think they'd be a good team. Because then they could retool around him, and LeBron won't be around to, like, boss them around in terms of what kind of players to get. So, don't you think, you know, since we're on this topic, that the reason they waited so long is because LeBron was really begging them to get Kawhi? Besides, why would, you know, in retrospect, you're like, why would we even have wanted to, why would they even have wanted to do that? Because Kawhi is a little, it needs the ball a lot, too. I don't think it would have been a good fit on that team. That's a weird, you know what I mean? Like, in retrospect, it kind of seemed like a weird idea.
Kawhi didn't want to play on LeBron's team. He wants it to be his team, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's a gamer. He's a gamer, a champion, and he's definitely a big time player. He's a leader. Now, you can't be a leader if you're on a LeBron team. That just isn't going to happen. So,
yeah, exactly.
I agree with you. It just seemed like an unrealistic proposition. I concur that they waited too long. They could have done a lot better in the free agency if they had just jumped on it sooner. I did think that after the fact, they did as well as they could. Green was a good pickup. It's just that now he's just really fallen off. And some people are saying he might be hurt. But at the time, it seemed like a decent pickup. But all in all, that tends to be what happens. Like, you just jump. You try to put too much into one guy. The Knicks, you know, done that every 5 years, and that blows up in their face, right?
Every year blows up in their face, not every five. Not every five.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
all right, so you like Portland to win the finals, is that right?
I didn't say win the finals. I said they're going to beat the Lakers.
They'll beat the Lakers? Okay. Yeah. Who would you take out of the West, then? You say the Clippers, right? Who do you like?
I just think they're too stacked.
Yeah, it's a great team. You know, when this season began, I picked the Clippers to come out of the West as well. Despite being, you know, my feelings with the Lakers, being a Laker fan and all that, I still had the Clippers in the Western Conference. So, for what it's worth, I think we're on the same page. In the East, where are you looking?
I don't know, because Milwaukee didn't look good.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they don't really have a really great second option, and I don't know. I mean, Boston looks pretty good. Philly sucks. I'd say like Boston or Toronto.
Yeah. I think those
I'm not a Heat believer. You know what I mean?
The Heat's kind of a long shot. I wouldn't worry about that.
You know. I know they're better, but they're not. You know what I mean? I still think they're missing something.
Wait. Are we talking about Milwaukee?
No, well, both of them, Miami and Milwaukee. In Milwaukee, he needs, like, a number two, and Middleton ain't that guy, you know?
Agree. It's a very incomplete offense to me, so I'm not really buying Milwaukee either. I mean, they'll beat the... Unlike our scenario with the Lakers, I do think they're going to win their series against Orlando, but after that, I don't really have that much trust in them. They've been really flat. Like, the seeding play and everything, it just haven't looked that great.
Yeah.
I will probably go Toronto to win the conference, but man, the scary thing for me specifically is that Boston could win. And if they do, there's more power to them. That's a good team. It's a great team, actually. Like you said, really stacked. So we're pretty much on the same boat there. I think it's between those two. But now you ask the question, who's going to win the finals? That's the tougher question.
The Clippers.
I'm going to say Raps. We're going to go Raps. Raps back to back when no one thought they could do it.
That'd be interesting if they played each other just with Kawhi on the Clippers now.
That would be some matchup. So many storylines. The team he used to play against. Yeah. Raptors going back to back when everybody thought they were going to be a non-factor.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, Toro, this has been fun. Thank you again. I think the Clippers are going to win this game tonight, too. I think they've cut the lead a lot. They should be all right. And I wish you safety and good luck. And is your friend still here in the house with you?
Yeah, he's in the other room.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you go. I'll let you guys hang out for a little bit then.
It's a cool day.
Sounds good. But yeah, this is fun. We'll do it again sometime, yeah?
Alright, cool, yeah. Just hit me up. I'm always around.
I like it. I like it a lot. Good luck in your FanDuel as well. Hopefully that goes well for you in the next couple days.
We will see.
We will see. Yeah, same for me. We'll definitely see. All right, buddy. Take it easy.
All right, man. Take it easy, bro.
Got it. That's Santoro. That's our program tonight. Good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. The fun little time to set aside to talk about DFS and all the other stuff. So we hope you enjoyed it. If you want to check out our other episodes going back through the last few weeks, you can go to ditcow.com. We're also on Twitter at ditcow. And you can subscribe to our show if you haven't already by looking up Dave in the City Out West on your podcast player of choice. Hope you've enjoyed this, everybody. Should be a really interesting playoff. Yes, series of playoff games for everybody, for the NHL, NBA, and the FedEx Cup too involved. So hope you we'll all follow that together. So I am Dave Medina. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.